I have a bad feeling about this.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I've got a bad feeling about
it. Hey, quiet.
What?
I have a bad feeling about this too, because there's a lot of questions that have come through, Doa, Charmer, and we are getting inundated, but we love it. I love it, so we're dedicating an entire show every Monday. The bad feeling mailbag gets all of our attention. Doa, Charmer, who wants to reach in first and grab the first one? I'm looking at you, Doa. I think that...
Sure, I can do the first one.
Let's do it.
All right. From Strix on the Discord. Do you have any tips for helping foster a good local TCG community? The game is still pretty new, but has been catching on fast where I live. There are new people showing up to locals every week, and there seems to be a wide range of players from the very casual to the very competitive. I love to see it, and I want to see the local SWU community grow in a positive way, but I've seen other games start similar, get very toxic and gatekeepy over time. As a normal player, not a store owner or event organizer, do you have any tips for helping grow the local community in ways to help keep it positive? Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think... a big sort of the first thing you can do is just set an example yourself, right? How do you conduct yourself when you play games? If you're having fun, if you're, you know, helping out someone after you beat them, be like, hey, let me take a look at your deck. Let's talk about maybe what we could do to improve it. If you're taking your bulk commons and uncommons and making like little starter decks to hand out to people that are curious, that kind of stuff, you know, what you can do as an individual can go the farthest, right? So first of all, that kind of stuff, as far as gatekeeping goes, I mean, at least I feel like with Star Wars, there's not a lot to worry about with that. I mean, it's so mainstream. It's so inundated. Like you can't gatekeep Star Wars at this point anymore. Like everybody has some sort of interaction with Star Wars, even if they absolutely hate it, you know? So I wouldn't worry about that. Toxicity wise, I mean, you just identify those individuals and if they, you know, like we kind of talked about in the conversation last week, if they are problematic in terms of like harassing other people at the store, blah, 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 you know, then it's good to let the store manager know. Otherwise, if it's somebody that like you can tell likes the game, but they just kind of like have a bad attitude or it's losing and stuff, there's nothing wrong with just talking to them and be like, hey, you know, I can see this is bothering you. You know, why is it? Why is it so tough? I mean, we're here to have fun and learn and try to figure out if you can find a way for them to enjoy the game. It's not your job to fix everybody that comes and plays at your local, obviously. But if there's somebody that you think has potential and that just needs a little bit of love, you know, it's fine to sit down with somebody like that, too. But yeah, a lot of it's just kind of what you can do on your own and what like-minded people you can find to help you with that mission, you know?
Gatekeepy, maybe not, but definitely opinions. Plenty of opinions.
Yeah,
tons of opinions.
I didn't mean to laugh so hard there, but I don't disagree with you. I just know that there are still going to be people that will try to gatekeep. It's the wrong move, 100%. But
I just can't. I can't like wrap my mind around that. Where I'm like, oh well, I'm really into Star Wars. It's like, dude, like it's Star Wars. Everybody knows everything about Star Wars already. Like it's, you know.
Look, I'll say this. Yeah. I've done an episode of other podcasts where we talk about tribalism in card games. And I think that this show probably merits a whole episode to potentially discuss a little bit of it. But to answer your question, Strix, a hyperfoil Wampa. That's why his question got asked first. That is a luxury that you get. Strix, great person. I think Doa covered 90% of it. And just by saying be the example. But the other thing about it is I feel like... going also not just being the example, but also going out of your way to make new people feel welcome. And in that case, it's just things like answering their questions without any kind of like, I don't say attitude or whatever, but like one of the most nasty things that I'll witness is when somebody asks a question that is obvious. It's obvious to everybody who has picked up and played the game. But if it's something like, oh, if I do this, does the damage happen first? And then, like, does my guy survive? And to 99% of the players, they'll be like, well, no, that's a silly question. But just be open, be patient. And I think that that goes a long way. And going out of your way, if you see a new face, just even if it's a matter of, like, if you see them sitting alone, maybe just sit near them and just casually ask them, you know, oh, what hero are you playing? Spark a conversation that way. Make them feel welcome. Mm-hmm. Gatekeeping can be done through just indifference as well. If you just don't engage, people might feel like they're not welcome. So just go out of your way. Make an effort, I think, is important.
Yeah, I think that you really touched on what I was going to highlight, which is, and I also want to preface my answer by saying that I don't think that what I'm going to suggest is a requirement for absolutely everybody. But if you are somebody who is very specifically interested in helping to build your local community, first and foremost, the thing that you can do is just always be helpful. So Flake here is talking about engagement, and I was immediately thinking about an interaction that I had at my local game store this past Sunday, which was we had wrapped up the event, right? Everybody's just kind of waiting for their prize packs. We're all standing around talking about it. And there was somebody in the store and they started asking, they were like, hey, is that a new Star Wars card game? They were a Magic player, right? And the store owner was giving them answers. But then when they got done, like you could see them kind of like looking over the cards and thinking things through. And so I said, you know, have you heard of it? Do you want to know more about it? Right. Like I just engaged them and then we talked for another like 20 minutes and I answered a bunch of questions. And so that is, I think, a great example of when we say, you know, just be welcoming. If you see somebody that might have questions, then just feel free to answer. Right. And it doesn't have to even be a player. It might just be somebody who's walking through the store. You know, it doesn't take much to just say, hey, you know, we're playing a new Star Wars card game, and they might never have even played a card game before, but maybe that's the open invitation they were looking for, right? Somebody to just acknowledge them and say like, hey, you're welcome here. If you want to know more, I would be happy to tell you. And that goes a long way. The other thing that I would recommend is if your local game store has any sort of communication system, a lot of them like to use Facebook. A lot of mine here locally are transitioning to Discord, which is very helpful for me because I spend a lot of time in Discord. But doing something where you're trying to encourage people to play outside of just the weekly play or even before or after is also a great way to foster things, right? So if you want to say like, hey, I know weekly play starts this Sunday at 1, but I'm going to show up at noon if anybody wants to jam games before we get started. Or I'm going to bring a Twin Suns deck if anybody wants to play for, you know, an hour or two after the event. Because one, you're letting people know, you know what, even if you don't do well, we have a casual thing where, you know, maybe we can learn together, we can play a different format. But also, as weird as it sounds, just you being there longer in the store is also building the community because it's an advertisement for everybody who walks through that LGS to basically say like, hey, we play Star Wars here and, you know, we have a community and we're open and whatever. And it's not just a like, hey, everyone shows up at that one time and then we leave. So it seems so silly. It's just like little things like that. But honestly, those little things go a really long way.
All right. Next question. This one is from T-Bird ASDF. This is a hyperspace wampa for reference. Asking, mailbag, apologies if it's already been asked before, which do you think we are more likely to see first, a fifth aspect or a dual aspect card? And by dual aspect, I do not mean heroism or villainy. I mean something like command aggression or aggression, yeah. Something like that. I'm going to just flat out say that we're probably going to see that before we see another aspect. I would be highly surprised if we got another aspect at all. And if we do, I don't see that coming for the next 10 years, to be completely honest with you. I think that a extra aspect is something that if you look at card games like Magic has always had this sort of running meme gag that the purple color is coming. And it's like, you know, who knows what the hell that even means. But at the same time, I mean, Hearthstone was so successful for so long, and they introduced new classes, multiple new classes. Demon Hunter and Death Knight came into the fray. Gwent came out with a brand new faction late into the game as well. It does happen, but I would bet dollars to donuts that this is something that is not on their radar at all. So I'm going to say more likely is the dual aspect card.
All right, so I'll jump in real quick.
Go for it.
I think dual aspect is definitely more likely to be seen first. I do think Star Wars Unlimited is in a weirdly unique space because one of the reasons it's so hard to add new colors to Magic is because of the resource system caring about colors. Star Wars Unlimited, technically, your resources are all colorless and your aspects are tied to your leaders and your bases. So theoretically, introducing another aspect would, I mean, it would require some sets dedicated to that, but it's not as difficult as it would be, say, a whole new color in Magic. But, and this is where I'm going to cheat, the reason that I don't think it's anywhere on their immediate radar is because our good friends over at FFG, a very wonderful couple, have a pair of matching tattoos that only have six aspects.
But they have skin
left. You couldn't put a six aspect on there if you knew it was coming anyway, because that would kind of give it away, right?
I mean, maybe not, but that's the answer I'm going with. I'm going with six aspects.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know?
Seventh one, like, what's this aspect? Like, oh, we don't talk about that one yet.
Secretly, it's there, but you have to hold the black light up. It's one of those black light
tattoos.
It's indigo.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Neat. All right. I don't think the game is going to, like, need another aspect for so long. I think that's kind of the main reason not to. It's because, like, the way the aspects are at the moment, you've just got so much deck building potential, even in just set one. Like, this is the most, like, diverse set one meta that still hasn't been figured out of, like, any card game ever that I've seen. So I just don't think we're going to need another aspect for a long time. So I think the idea of dual aspect cards, sure, I think that's more likely if I had to pick one of the two. At the same time, like, I honestly am not really a big fan of either idea. Dual aspect because, I explained why I don't think we need an extra aspect, a fifth one, compared to, you know, not counting heroism and villainy. But I don't think we need dual aspect cards either, because if you make a dual aspect card, it's almost like making a neutral card, in that you need to make it particularly weak to a certain extent, because if you make a dual aspect card that's too strong and too usable, it'll just kind of, you know, be in everything that includes those aspects. So I think it's difficult. I think the tax of being dual aspect would make the card probably just, like, not great enough to be played in decks of either aspect. Or you run the risk of just making it an auto include, you know? So I think the balance that goes around a dual aspect card is just too much of a can of worms to open to, like, do that. So I personally, you know, don't really want to see either of them for a while. But that said, there was a smuggling card, I think, revealed that had a different color on the smuggle. So in that sense, yeah, I think we're going to see stuff like that where there's a keyword or a sub mechanic that can include another aspect. That's where you can include that kind of thing and dodge what I was just talking about a little bit. So, yeah, I guess now that I think about it, that question is, I feel like, has kind of been answered, where, like, that's a better way to do it, because then you can sort of, like, put that extra aspect in a little box and deal with it surgically, I guess, is a good way to say, you know, than just sort of make it two aspects and just available to, you know, too much stuff. So
you're saying, which one's more likely?
Which one's more likely? Two aspect cards, I suppose, because we already have them, yeah. Technically, or we will have them when the expansion comes out. But, you know, I don't want to see, I'm not a huge fan of in the top left having two different aspects on non-leader cards, you know? Yeah.
All right. Next one, Charmer.
All right. The next one comes from, I'm going to pronounce this Bazin. I apologize if it's Bazin or Bazin.
It's Bazin. Bazin. You know.
Yeah, obviously. So they say, a silly question for a time you ran out of them. What will the card "May the Force Be With You" do?
I love this question so much, because it is such an iconic phrase, obviously. And, like, we were talking about this all the time. I asked you, Doan, hello there. I said, like, what's your favorite line in Star Wars? And you said, I'm not going to spoil it. Go check the episode. Okay.
Wasn't that, though?
It was not that. They never say that in Star Wars. Like, that got cut. But I, like, for a something like that, like, "May the Force Be With You" is such an intriguing card because it's so iconic. It's like, man, it has to be impactful, but it's got to be an event, right? It has to be an event. And what does that event do? Does anyone have like a crack at this? Because like I'm so bad at because I know I'm gonna say it and it's gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be something stupid.
Yeah. Oh, I had an idea. If you go ahead. All right. My idea is it's an event that just says at the end of this action phase you gain the initiative. So you just basically, it's like gaining the initiative without actually taking the initiative. And I don't even want to speculate what something like that would cost. But basically, yeah, it would just be a way to cheat the initiative token and still do more things, you know. And also gain the, just gain the initiative at the end of it. You couldn't make a card that was like, take the initiative, you can take additional actions this phase, because that turns on all the cards that are like, if you have the initiative, do this. That might get a little bit too strong. But I think if you had a card that said, may the force be with you, and you just gain the initiative token at the end of the action phase, no matter what, you know, then that could see some interesting scenarios at play. I kind of want to try that out. Yeah.
So when I saw this question, I was first thinking about, I think, similarly worded or named cards. So, for example, there is, You're My Only Hope, which I think is another iconic thing that's portrayed in an action. There's, the Force is with Me, another iconic moment portrayed in an event. And I like what they did with those, but I keep coming back to that this isn't actually an event. I want this to be an upgrade. I want May the Force Be With You to give a stat boost and then also apply the Force tag to whatever unit you put it on. Because there's a bunch of things that interact with, like, if you have a Force unit in play, and it's literally May the Force Be With You. So, like, I want it to be an upgrade that makes somebody a Force user. And it's a callback to the old Decipher game, because you could take certain characters and then still put them through Jedi training anyway, even if they weren't, you know, the natural, very famous
Son of Skywalker.
So I want a version of that in this game, and so I kind of want it to be an upgrade that does something like that.
Okay,
that's cool. I like that.
Get ready for this, because I think I just came up with the perfect one.
Okay,
it's an event. It's a heroism vigilance event. Okay, it costs 4 or 5, and it says if you have a force unit in your discard pile or your graveyard or whatever, give all of your other force sensitive units a shield token and an experience token. But a force thing has to have died, right? He's speaking to you much like Obi-Wan did, of like, hey, right. I know you have all this technology and your targeting computer is really reliable and amazing, but how about we just freak everyone out of the fate of the galaxy by just turning it off and not telling them what's going on because some old man is talking to you from beyond the grave? But I think that's what it should be.
Okay.
All right.
I like that. We all three of these ideas were good ideas.
I think so too. I think that they were actually kind of cool. I like all of them.
And I'll be disappointed if all three of those cards aren't printed at some point in the future, with, you know, obviously credits to given to us.
Faces on them.
Thought up by Ice Cave Radio. Yeah.
All right, let's go with Doa. Doa's got the next one.
All right. It is going to be from Trashy. Thoughts on rules sticklers in competitive play. Just watch an interesting situation unfold the 5K. I didn't see this, so I'm curious what this is. All right. I assume they're going to describe this issue. Player A goes to take down a fire spray. I assume they mean the card takedown, not just kills it. Player B says you can't target that, and A realizes he messed up and wants to put it back in his hand and claim initiative instead. Player B says, no, that's not a legal play. You just can't hit fire spray. Player B has lethal with fire spray next turn if he gets to take initiative. Judges were called. Ultimately, player A was forced to play the takedown, but was not forced to target his own Dooku. And instead, the card was just placed in the discard pile. Player B claimed initiative and won the next turn. Huh. I don't actually recall what/if the rulebook says about this situation. And the answer to this question is different depending on different games. Some games will be like, that wasn't a valid target, therefore the card wasn't played, therefore you must decide to do something else instead. Other games would rule it like it sounds like the judges did, where it's like, well, the card was played, you just have to select an eligible target. If there is no eligible target, it just fizzles. I don't actually know what the rule book says. Does anyone have the rule book in front of them?
I don't have the rule book in front of me, but
that's not the question, but I do want to look that up later because I'm not 100% convinced that they're
I have it because I have the PDF saved, so I'm looking for the spot now. So you guys do somewhere, but I lost the discussion, and then I will.
Yeah, while you look it up, this was actually sparked a lot of discussion within our Discord, and a lot of the discussion was more or less about would you allow the player to take it back, and what are your thoughts on it? I think a lot of the conversation was more so about the player not allowing the player to have a take back of like, oh, you're right, I can't play it. Can I have my turn back? Or you know, that kind of conversation. That's where a lot of the follow-up discussion in the Discord was surrounding. So I'm going to approach when Trashy asked for thoughts. The thoughts for me are more so around that aspect. And I have to say this. It's a 5K, and games matter. And if my opponent made this play to me on a Saturday at my LGS where what's up for grabs, like a pack or two, I would let them take it back. It's never worth it to be a stickler in that regard if the stakes are so low. The stakes in this were a lot better, especially since this was being played on camera. Therefore, their records must have been really up there. They were all in contention. I do not fault player B for telling player A that they cannot take that move back. I think that is perfectly justifiable. And if you are on the receiving end of this and you had a match at stake, you would make the same thing. And I think that the right thing overall here is that they called a judge. That is the most important fact here out of all of this. It has nothing to do with ethics. It has to do with rules. And that's one conversation I have so many times and so many heated debates with other people in various other card game communities about is that morality and ethics and rules are not synonymous. That you could be a greasy player and play by the rules. It has nothing to do with it. But in this particular case, the rules aside of whether the player A had to sacrifice his own Dooku or not is a moot point, frankly, because the player had lethal on the board anyways. But ultimately, in my opinion, I think that when player A presented takedown with no legal target and player B was set to win the game, in my opinion, I'm like, I'm sorry. You have come this far, and being clean and clear on the rules is just as important as being clean and clear on your deck build and your matchups and whatever. That is all part of it. So I do not fault player B for saying no take backsies. You're on camera at a 5K. The stakes are real. So live with your mistakes, and that's the reality of it. But again, the most important part here, call a judge. The judge will sort it out.
Yeah. So I did find the spot. It's actually in the rule book multiple times.
Really?
And it's worded the way that I remembered it being worded, but I wanted to have it in front of me so I can read it for verbatim. My understanding of the rules before I looked it up, is that when you play any card or you take any action, just as your general rule of thumb, you're supposed to complete as much of the card as you can. And that comes up obviously when you have modal cards or cards where there are more than one thing listed. And so that's when that ruling was first given. But that doesn't mean that it's only for those cards. So page 13 of the comprehensive rule book, it's listed under events. It's listed again on page 25 under event abilities, but it essentially says, so this is me reading directly, when resolving an event ability, resolve as much of the ability as possible and ignore anything that cannot resolve. A player may pay the cost of an event and play it even if none of that event's ability would change the game state. So that's the important one. Again, it's listed multiple times in the rule book, but that's the one that would apply here, where theoretically you could play a takedown even if it would not change the game state. because the way that takedown is worded specifically is defeat a unit with 5 or less remaining HP. It does not say target unit. You don't have to have a legal target to play it. And that's relevant because if you ever have, say, Bossk, for example, and you have takedown, they might have a unit with more than 5 health, but you still want to play the takedown to trigger the damage, right? That's a legal play. So
it sounds to me like he should have targeted his own Dooku.
So that was what I was getting to, because it's actually worse for that player. The judge, in my opinion, and again, it's hard because we don't have an official judge program, but in my opinion, the judge should have forced the Dooku, because you are supposed to resolve as much of an ability as you can, and you're only allowed to ignore them if there is a you may. Right.
Yeah. It's so, the rule says an event ability must be resolved as completely as possible. So
Dooku should have bit it. Yeah. Dooku should have.
That sentence, he should have taken down his own Dooku. Yeah.
Now, just kind of echoing what Flake was saying, this was a 5K. So I also agree. I think that when you're at these high stakes events, even if it does really suck, part of playing the game is capitalizing on opponents' play mistakes and following the rules. And even if the rule like really sucks for one player, it's still the rules, right? Like you don't give the touchdown back because it was flashy just because there was a false start, and you don't give the takedown back just because it was played an error, right? Mm-hmm. It sucks, but that's competitive gaming. Now, that being said, I would 100%, like if I'm the opposing player or whatever, have let my opponent change something at my locals, right? Smaller stakes, whatever. To me, that's fine. But also, if I'm at locals and somebody really wants to enforce it, I'm not going to argue about it either, because it is the rules.
So for me, the answer comes down to, what is the goal of playing at an event? If you're playing at a local, then the goal should be to have fun, which, you know, to have fun should be the goal of everything you play in. But at a local, it's to have fun, but also to learn, you know, and to help other people learn the game. You're all there to get better, right? So in that sense, then it's better to let people take things back, as long as it's not excessive. But, you know, when there's little mistakes here and there that are silly, let them take it back, because we're here to learn. You know, that's not something, you know, that someone would have normally done, etc. So, yeah, I would 100% let my opponent take that back in any local ever, because the purpose of a local is to learn, right? The purpose of a $5,000 tournament is to win. In that sense, I would absolutely not let my opponent take that back. You know, I'm a really nice person, but, you know, we're there to compete. You know, we're there to play. We're there to, like, show the highest level of skill and decision making. So that means if you make a mistake, you got to own that mistake, you know? And sorry if that makes you feel bad. That's sports. That's competition. You're going to mess up. It's going to feel bad. That's just part of it, you know? So, yeah, at a local, I encourage letting people take that stuff back. In a tournament, like, that's got serious, you know, money or prestige on the line, I encourage people to not let their opponents take things back. So, again, it goes back to, like, what's the purpose of playing in this tournament? So, or this event, yeah.
I do want to just, my last thought on this is that, as somebody who has been in the position of player B, who has had to deny somebody a play, it's not fun for us either, because this is not how we want to win. It's not how we want to succeed. And it's awkward for us because there's always the appeal of, like, to our good nature of, like, hey, can I take this back? And then you feel like an ass. Like, you feel so that you have to deny them that because they realize their mistake and they're like, oh, shoot. It wasn't that they forgot about a rule. They just misread a number or misinterpreted something, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But it also sucks for the person who has to make that call of saying no, you know? But ultimately, you're playing by the rules, and the rules are there to just keep the integrity of the game the way it's meant to be. So from a thoughts on this, yeah, it sucks for everyone involved. It just sucked a lot more for the takedown guy. Like, it just
only sucks more for one person.
Yeah.
I want to add real quick a little piece of advice. When you mess up at your locals, don't ask to take it back, because the pain of remembering that will save you from making that mistake at a bigger event where you can't take it back. So like at locals, I never take things back. I'm always like, you know, yeah, I did that. It was silly. I'm going to lose the game because of it, but I'm going to remember that. And then when I play in a tournament that actually matters, I'm going to be less likely to make that mistake. So if my opponent asks if they can take things back, sure, whatever, it's a local. For me, I've even had it all the time where my opponent's like, do you want to take that back? And I'm like, no, I want to feel the pain. And because I know that's how I get to be a better player. So yeah, I would encourage you as a player, don't take your mistakes back. Feel them, own them, learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, more GG, more skill. Yeah.
Be born in them. Be forged by them.
That's right. The crucible of your own mistakes.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much to everybody for submitting to the mailbag. We're going to try to carry over as what we can till next week. We do get a lot of them. A little cheat code here, friends, is that if you do want to get your question popped up to the top of the ranks, we prioritize our Patreon supporters. You can go to patreon.com/icecaveradio. As you heard, all of our patrons, all the wampas in the cave got their questions asked and answered, as well as everyone else's. So we got Trashy in there as well. And for those who submitted, we'll try to get to them next week, but we do appreciate everyone tossing them in. So last week, Doa, we signed off and you said, now there are two of them. This is ridiculous. Oh. Now there are two of them. But I'm going to ask you for another line from Star Wars. So that's how we're going to do it. So I'm going to prep you here. Another line from Star Wars to end us off. And I want to say thank you again to everybody for listening. Please give us 5-star review. Follow the channel. We are very close to 1,000 subscribers on the channel. So we want to get there. It's a nice milestone for us. So if you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button. Doa, hit us with that iconic line that you've been practicing all day.
Which one's that?
What line was that from? What movie was that line from?
I don't know. I wasn't practicing.
I know.
I thought you had something in mind.
I didn't. I was pumping the tires really, really, really big here to make sure that you kind of blew us away. I was kind of adding extra pressure. That was unfair.
I'll just say, Major, but no bother.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?